Good morning.
Good morning.
Desire your prayers this morning. Look into the Word of God. Nothing's new, still dependent on Him. Recognize it might sound, you might weary of me saying it, but every time I say it, it's true. I can't do anything without Him. So each time we stand before you, I'm depending on Him. So I certainly desire your prayers again this morning. I'd like to, by the help and grace of God, continue with something that we started several weeks ago. I had mentioned then that I thought that it would be one that was going to be multiples. And I can say that it's probably going to be another one after this. You know, there's so much in God's Word that we try to get a hold to. And even when the feeble attempt, I'm going to say that I'm trying to make, I'm not going to be able to capture all that God has in His Word. So we're just touching on a little bit of it, the ones that I feel like God has inspired me to touch on. So this is Promises Part 2. Amen. Like to begin by reminding us of some of the things that we laid in the foundation last time. Remember, the definition of a promise is a declaration that one will do or refrain from doing something specified, a legally binding declaration that gives the person to whom it is made a right to expect or to claim the performance of forbearance of a specific act. So it's something that it's a promise is intended to be a guarantee. And just, I may have mentioned this before, but we know the originator of promises is Almighty God. He's the original one that made the promises. And so as we look into His Word, we realize that we can stand on and we can believe in that. There's a verse of song that we sing from time to time, number 512 in our book. And the second verse says, standing on the promises that cannot fail. May have mentioned this before. When the howling storms of doubt and fear assail, by the living Word of God, I shall prevail, standing on the promises of God. We're going to get to the Word of God a little bit later, but just be encouraged with that thought that His promises cannot fail. One of the verses that we shared last time was found in the fourth chapter of Romans, and the 20th verse. Again, desire your prayers this morning. This is a desire to present this in a way that God would have it to be presented to get across the point and recognize that this is not something that we should treat lightly. This is a wonderful privilege that we have as God's children. Romans 4 and 20.
He staggered not.
It's talking about, I believe this was talking about Moses or Abraham. Staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief,
but was strong in faith,
giving glory to God. So the encouragement, if you remember before, it was for us to be challenged and encouraged that we stagger not at the promises of God. Unbelief, the writer says, is at the bottom of all staggering of God's promises. So if we have a question or we have a concern about God being able to fulfill some of the promises that He has given us, the root of that is unbelief. It's not that promises fail. God's promises will never fail. What fails is our faith. When we stagger, that hinders our faith. So be encouraged to know that's why we can't stagger. If I'm staggering, if I'm doubting at the promises of God, then that's going to hinder my faith, and it's going to hinder God from working. Be reminded that God's promises, the promises that God has given us in His Word, they are bigger than all of our problems. They're bigger than all of our trials. They're bigger than all of our circumstances of life. It doesn't matter what it is, God's promises are bigger than it. And there's no asterisk for special situations. Well, see, this case is, there's nothing that's beyond God's reach. You know, if you remember from before, we talked about Abraham, right? And what he, what God had promised him, and where he was at in his state of life, it seemed like it was impossible. But God changed nature for him. And we know that God is yet the same today. So as we brought out before, again, this is a little bit of a review. We talked about there are two promises that we should always keep in the forefront of our mind, and they're related to judgment. Isaiah 1, 19 and 20.
If ye be willing and obedient,
ye shall eat the good of the land.
But if ye refuse and rebel,
ye shall be devoured with the sword.
For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it.
This is a promise. This is a promise in God's word. So the again, the admonition to each and every one of us, if you, it says here,
what was that one? I'm sorry.
If you're willing and obedient. You know what? That's really when you think about God willing. This, if you haven't learned this already, get a hold of this. God loves willingness.
Yes.
If you want your relationship with God to prosper, the sooner you learn to be willing, the better off you'll be, and the more successful you will be. If you're willing, so then the willingness, God works with the willingness, you see? So when God desires something of us, or when God puts us through things, there's a willingness on our part. And sometimes God has to take the willingness to help us to be able to get through it. Yeah. You know, Brother Henry talks about help us to be willing to be willing. Yeah. You know, sometimes that's what it takes. Lord, help me to be willing to be able to go through whatever you have for me, knowing that there's something better for me on the other side. So God takes that willingness, and with the willingness, he's able to help us to be obedient, right? So if we're willing and obedient, we shall eat the good of the land. That's a problem. At the end of the verse, it says, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. And so it's a choice. Again, we have the choice. Am I going to be willing and obedient? I don't have to be. I can refuse. I can rebel if I want to. I can refuse and rebel when God presents himself to me and says, are you willing? I can say no. That's the right. That's what's special about us as God's creation, right? He gave us all a will. And it's an opportunity for us to be able to say no to God. I did not write the word of God. It said the mouth of the word is spoken. Just know what's going to happen. This is what the results of it. The judgment of it is, if you refuse and rebel, you will be devoured with the sword. The sword of the enemy of all souls. So that's just something to keep in mind. Romans 6:23.
For the wages of sin is death.
The wages of sin is death.
But the gift of God is eternal life.
But the gift of God is eternal life.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Again, this is what it says. This is God's word here letting us know it's a promise. Yeah. It's a promise to know the wages of sin, the result, the end result, the payment of sin is death. Again, we have choices as we go through this life because the gift of God is eternal life. Amen. One of the other scriptures that we shared was Revelation 2 and 10. The second half of that verse lets us know if we are faithful, what will be the results of it.
Be thou faithful unto death.
Be thou faithful unto death.
And I will give thee a crown of life.
We heard about a little bit this morning about some faithful brothers, didn't we? And we saw in their faithfulness to God, in their resolve to God, God came to their rescue in a great and in a mighty way. God will do that for each and every one of us. But the encouragement here in this verse says, if you be thou faithful unto death, and you'll have a crown of life. So think about this as it relates to the promises of God. Really, heaven is where we started, right?
Yes.
Right? That's God's intent for all of his creation was heaven, right?
Yes.
That's why he died. Right? So that's his will for each and every one of us. So consider that heaven is the starting point. Now, what do I need to do to stay there, right? That's really, when you think about it, what must I do so that I can gain that eternal reward? There's another song that we sing. It says, ever keep heaven in view. Reminded of something also Brother Henry talks about. Don't take heaven out of the equation. That's always something that we have to keep in mind. Again, as we think about all of God's promises, again, one of the promises that we have is eternal life, right? Ever keep heaven in view. Song number 213, the second verse says this. Pilgrim of Jesus, what saddens your brow? Are not his promises true? How needless thy sorrow, he's bidding thee now. Ever keep heaven in view. So in other words, I may have some difficulty right now, but you know what? In the sum of it all, when I get to heaven, is it really going to matter? You know, I was mentioned again this morning in Sunday school, and I don't know if it was brought out, but the thought of it being that, you know, our minds, we think, if I was thinking about this, I may not have brought it out. The only way that our minds can work, all we know is beginning and endings of things, right? That's the way our minds are. That's how we understand things to be. So really, it's difficult for us to fathom something that lasts forever.
Amen. Yes, true. Yes.
So think about just things just in life in general, right? Maybe you're going through some financial difficulty. Usually, it's not just constant, right? There's just some kind of beginning. There's some kind of ending to it. Think about maybe you have, when we get sick, right? So if we have some kind of terminal situation, usually there's a beginning to it and there's an end, right? So that's the way our minds work. But again, we got to think about, at the end of the day, heaven is where I started. And I want to stay there.
Yes.
So help me to just ever keep it in view.
Yes.
In midst of everything that's going around, that's a promise that God, if I'm faithful, he's got a crown of life for me. So when I'm going through the trials and tests of life, there's a crown waiting for me. And I need to be able to go and get it.
Yes.
That's one of his promises that he has given us. His promises cannot fail. They can't fail. Trials and problems of life are temporary. Life, the scripture says, is what? It's a vapor. It appears for a little bit of time,
and then it vanishes away. Eternity is everlasting, it's forever. Now let's talk about his word. God's word is ever living and everlasting. I'd like to go to 1 Peter, the first chapter and the 23rd verse.
1 Peter 1:23.
Not of corruptible seed,
but of incorruptible.
By the word of God,
which liveth
and abideth forever.
Amen.
It always was,
yes.
It always is, and it always will be, right? That's what forever is. Forever is forever. You know, I'm reminded sometimes you think about children and growing up, you read different stories and how some of the stories ended, and they lived happily ever after, right? That's how, you know, oh, they could just get through. And what was a lot of the little stories about? Little conflicts, right? Different struggles and things that they had to go through. Maybe somebody treated them wrong, or they're just difficult situations. But somehow they persevered and they made it through, and they got the girl or they got the man, and they lived happily ever after. That doesn't, you know what? That doesn't have to be a fairy tale. That can be our life. That's our life when we live for God, when we stand on his promises.
Yeah.
Happily ever after with Jesus. God's word. The word of God which liveth and abideth forever. The writer says the doctrine of the living God remaineth forever. And guess what? It doesn't change.
Amen.
It's not, well, so if somebody comes along and say, well, it's adapted for the right now in the times that we live in. No. God's word doesn't change.
Amen.
It covers all of it.
Yes.
All the things that is going on in the world, God knew what was going to take place. And his word is for the here and now. Any more, basically the writer was saying it's never going to change any more than the source from whence it proceeds. So in other words, God doesn't change, right? He's the same the yesterday, today, and forever. He's the same God as he was when he spoke this world into existence. God hasn't changed. So if God hasn't changed, then his word is not going to change. Regardless of what mankind does or thinks about it, it doesn't matter. It's not going to change. I'm making references to a lot of songs this morning, but all of these things relate to that one word, promise.
Amen.
Promises. We sing a song, number 334. Guess what the title is? The Unchanging Word. Guess what scripture it references? 1 Peter 1:23. In that second verse, listen what the writer said here. Since the morn, when time began, has his word, this is the question he's asking. Since the morn, when time began, has his word ceased to prevail? Has it? No, it hasn't, right? We can say no.
Amen.
Is the God of heaven weak as man? Can his promises fail? Is God weak as man? No, No, he's not. He's the one who gave men strength. He's the source of strength. So, no, God is not weak as man, and no, his promises cannot fail.
Amen.
It says, his word liveth and abideth forever.
Yes.
And what's in his word? All of these promises. His word has not changed since the beginning. It was true then and is still true now. You know, as human beings, and I can make a promise with every intention. I can make a promise with every intention in my being to be able to fulfill that promise. But you know what? Sometimes things happen. And there might be something that happened. If I say, I promise you I'm going to be there at such and such a time, I could have every intention of getting there, give myself plenty of time, and something can happen, and you sitting there waiting for me, and you said you was going to be here. And there could be things that happened that are completely out of my control. I could have every intention. There could be traffic. There could be an accident. Something could happen to me. Something could happen, and I could, with every good, and I could tell you I had every intention, but these things came about.
Yes.
We're talking about God here, see?
Yes.
We're talking about God. It don't matter what happens. He can overcome all of that because he's God. His promises cannot fail.
Amen.
In that fourth verse of this same song, it says, trusting him, I'm not afraid, for he careth still for me. And for me, the promise sure was made. And guess what? He was sealed on Calvary.
Yes.
The promise that he's given us has been sealed with his blood.
Amen.
I think about this morning, we're talking about the three Hebrew boys again. They had a purpose in their heart that it don't matter what happens to us.
Right.
And even we know the God that we serve, he can deliver us from this fiery furnace. But they said, even if he don't,
yes,
we still not going to bow down.
Amen.
This was before Jesus came and died on the cross.
Right.
How many more promises has been given to us since Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Amen. And then on top of that, he sealed them all with his blood on the cross.
Amen.
Trusting him, I'm not afraid. Because he careth still for me. And that promise that he made, he sealed it on Calvary.
Yes.
So then, with that in mind, on the word of God, I tremble?
No.
No. When I'm standing on the word of God, I can calmly rest.
Yes.
With a sweet assurance in my breath. For I know it is his holy will. One, two.
Mm-hmm.
Each promise.
Yes. Yes.
There's not a promise in here that he has given us that is not his intent
right
to extend to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You remember when Jesus was on the boat? He was down there asleep. And remember all the waves was all, the boat probably was jumping and tossing, and I don't know how many of you have ever been out in the ocean, maybe when there's been some troubled waters, or maybe when the waves are moving. Can you sleep? But that's what Jesus was doing. That's the promise that he has given us. By the word of God, I calmly rest in the midst of chaos and turmoil all around me. I can rest on the word of God because he gave me a promise. He gave me a promise in his word. Each promise to fulfill. So we have the promise that God's word is everlasting.
Yes.
And it will not fail. Again, there's so many promises. I'm highlighting just a few. But you find them. They're all in here. And we're going to get to some more. But so the next promise I'm going to get to, he promised that he would cleanse us. Let's go to Proverbs 28 and 13. You know, none of us was worthy of anything that God did for us. No matter how good, you know, we could maybe look back on our lives and say, I've lived a pretty good life. Don't matter. We still needed to be cleaned. We need, all of us have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and we needed Almighty God to come and cleanse us. Can't do it ourselves. None of us can cleanse ourselves. What does Proverbs 28 and 13 say?
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper.
He that covereth his sins shall not prosper.
But whoso confesseth
and forsaketh them shall have mercy. So there is a promise of cleansing for every person. But you know what? God's promises, they always come with something that we have to do. It's not just all God, as the brother mentioned it this morning, God will do his part, but we always have a part to play in it. So if we come to God, we need to be cleansed. I can't come to him and act like I'm just good and I got nothing. I got it all together. No, I have to confess. Lord, I messed up. And all of us, though, everybody that's surrendered their life to God, what do we all have to do? Lord, I acknowledge that I'm wrong. I acknowledge, Lord, that I need cleansing from you. And Lord, I'm sorry for all those things that I've done that have displeased you. And when we come to God like that, he said, if you cover them, if you try to, you know, come to God and you can't do it. You cover them, you're not going to prosper. Oh, but you confess and forsake, then God will have mercy. So the two go together, see? What if you come and confess, but then if you don't get the root out of there, then not have a desire to leave those things behind, the mercy's not going to be there. See, they work together. We want the cleansing. We have to confess and forsake. Then God's mercy will be extended unto us.
That's right.
There has to be some brokenness. There has to be some remorse. We can't come to God saying, Lord, I confess and I forsake, but it is nothing, that it doesn't mean anything. It has to come from the heart.
Amen.
God has to know that you mean what you say. That, Lord, I'm truly sorry, Lord, that I've displeased you. It's God's intent for every person to have a relationship with him. And if we don't have the relationship with God that he wants of every one of us, he's not pleased. And it's up to us, when God puts his finger on it, to be able to recognize it and say, Lord, I'm sorry.
Amen.
I'm willing to confess and forsake so that your mercy can be extended to me.
Yes.
You know, the thing is, he already knows. Sometimes it's like the devil tries to trick us into thinking God don't know. God is everywhere. Yes, God is everywhere. God is in the mountains. God is in the air. God is in the valley. He's in the sea. Anywhere we may go, there God will be. We should learn something from Jonah, shouldn't we? He thought he could disappear from God in the belly of a whale. Guess what? God was down there too. So he already knows. So nothing is hid from his eyes. So when God begins to touch us, we might as well just, Lord, you already know anyways. You know where I'm at, Lord? I'm just lay myself at your feet. And if I do my part, if I confess and forsake, then God can extend mercy. This is a promise that he's given us. We got to do our part, though. If we do our part, God will do his.
Yes.
1 John 1 and 9.
If we confess our sins.
If we confess our sins.
He is faithful and just.
He is faithful and just. Forgive us our sins.
And to cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
And cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the promise that he gave us. Right? We got to confess, though. Again, this is reiterating here. Confess. What's it says? He is faithful. He is faithful.
Yes.
The very definition of God is faithful.
Yes.
He is faithful and he is just.
Yes.
So when I come to him with a contrite heart, he is faithful and just to not only forgive me, but cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He does complete works. God provides he provides the forgiveness and the cleansing from all unrighteousness. You know how sometimes the enemy likes to trick people and tries to get them to think, well, see, the things that you've done in your life, they've been so awful. Sometimes people have a problem even forgiving themselves, don't they? Sometimes people are just in, the devil has that kind of control over their mind. This is a promise from the God of heaven. If God Almighty can forgive you, then you can forgive yourself. If God will extend his love and mercy, he's offering that forgiveness. Who are you to hold yourself?
Amen.
God's already provided it. So don't allow the enemy to discourage you in that kind of way.
Amen.
And you know what? We can be encouraged. We can look around and notice God has blessed and helped others.
Yes.
Maybe we, our situations, maybe they're not exactly the same, but they might be similar. They probably are similar. Wait a minute, I saw what God did for brother so-and-so and sister so-and-so. He's no respecter of persons. That's another promise. We might get to that one later on. But so what he's done for one, he'll do for another.
Yes.
That was, again, one of the encouragements from this morning. You know, as we go through this life, we don't know what kind of things we're going to face. We don't know what our faith is going to come up against, but are we willing to stand whatever the consequences are?
If God did that for Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego before he even ever died on the cross, what can he do for us today?
Yes.
When it comes to where somebody says, you're going to serve God or this is going to happen, we can stand on his promises. Again, we all fall short and we need the cleansing. And God is the one that can provide it. Doesn't matter how bad we think our condition may be. You know, the enemy sometimes likes to trouble people's mind, and they think, see, you've just gone too far. See, you've gone so far, there's no hope for you. That's not what the word says.
Amen.
The word says he'll provide the cleansing.
Yes.
I just need to bring the confession and forsaking to
yes.
him. Doesn't matter how good or even how bad or how good we think we are, we still need it.
Amen.
And God is the only one that can provide it.
Yes.
Part of the cleansing, these kind of work together. Cleansing and then saving. Right? These work together. Save us. Can't save ourselves, can we?
Amen.
When we want the promises of God, we have to meet his requirements, don't we?
Yes.
What's one of the most famous scriptures in the Bible? John 3:16, isn't it? So God has something for every one of us. It says he so loved the world. He gave his only begotten son that whosoever would believe in him and not perish should have eternal life. Again, do I want that eternal life? Then I need to go through the way that he tells me I need to go, right? This is, he's the one that's providing the eternal life, right? So in order to get to it, I have to follow the path that he's laid out for me. I can't say, well, I want the eternal life, but I don't have to do it the way his word said. See, I can do it and go a different way and still get there. Not so.
Amen.
I'm reminded when I was in school, I believe it was my physics class, where we had tests. I had physics in high school and college. We had 4 problem tests, 100 points. Each problem was worth 25 points, okay? You could have the right answer. That was worth something. But in order to get the full 25 points, see, you had to have everything explained out and correctly on how you got to the answer, see? We want that eternal life that God has for us, that he promised to us. We got to go his way.
Yes.
I can't go my own way. Well, I got the answer. How did you get there?
Yes.
Did you follow the path that I told you to go? Or did you go some other way? You want the eternal life. You know, sometimes we can't give eternal life to ourselves. None of us have a heaven. There's no man on this earth that has a heaven. So if somebody's telling you, you don't have to do that, they have a heaven for you. They're going to be standing at the gates with Jesus saying, he's okay, let him in. I told him it was all right. You want to take that chance? My soul was too valuable.
Amen.
If I want the saving that he has for me, if I want the eternal life,
I got to go the way he said.
Yes.
I have to believe in him. That's the only way that I'm going to get there. Said, whosoever will, let him come. You know, and that gift that God has for me, it's for each one of us, isn't it? He has a special, that eternal life is for each and every one of us. We just have to obtain to it. This is what the Amplified says about that verse. For God so greatly loved and dearly prized the world that he even gave his only begotten unique son, that whosoever believes in him, trusts in him, clings to him, relies on him. This is what I'm talking about going God's way. We want to, this is what we have. We have to trust, cling, and rely on him. And him shall not perish, come to destruction, be lost, but have eternal, everlasting life. So you know what that tells me? If I stop trusting, and if I stop clinging, and if I stop relying on him, and you know what? I got to go back to the beginning. That lets us know, well, I got saved when I was... Don't matter.
Right?
Mm-hmm. We have to maintain it.
Yes.
We have to continually do our part.
Yes.
We want God to do his, yes. Then I have to do mine. So Lord, help me. I want that eternal life. I need to trust, cling, and rely on you at all times.
Yes.
We're going to look at one more this morning. I appreciate your patience this morning. But you know what? He can cleanse us and save us. But you know the other wonderful thing is? He can keep us.
Yes, amen.
Amen. We sung that song this morning, didn't we? He's mighty to save us, but he's also mighty to keep us.
Yes,
amen. 2 Peter 1, 5 through 10.
Besides this,
giving all diligence,
add to your faith virtue,
and to virtue knowledge,
and to knowledge temperance,
and to temperance patience,
and to patience godliness.
And to brotherly kindness, charity.
For if these things be in you
and abound,
they make ye that ye shall
neither be barren
nor
unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
But he that lacketh these things
is blind
and cannot see
afar off
and hath forgotten
that he was purged from his old sins.
Wherefore
the rather,
brethren,
give diligence
to make your calling and election sure. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. God will keep us. But we're going to have to put some work in it. It's going to take some work on our part. What in life has an end result of just prosperity and blessings without putting work in it? If you have things that are given to you versus somebody that earned it with their own quote unquote blood, sweat, and tears, things are treated a little differently, aren't they? You know, think about children as you grow up. It's nice when you have parents. I need this. I need that. And your parents just... But then when you're the one that start buying the things, see, you take a little different care of it, don't you? God wants us to put some work in. He'll keep us. But we got to do some work. What it say in here? It's just a few things that's mentioned here. No, it's quite a bit, isn't it?
Yes.
Help me, Lord. Got some work to do, Lord. I'm still striving to get there, but I'm going to keep trying. I'm going to keep putting in the work, Lord, because I know if I do my part, then you'll do yours.
Yes.
Do we grab a hold of what this says? Give all diligence, faith, virtue, virtue, knowledge, knowledge, temperance, temperance, patience, patience, godliness, godliness, brotherly kindness, charity. If all these things be in you and abound, in other words, actively working,
yes.
It's not just something that I say I have. If somebody tells you, I'm one of the kindest people you know, be careful. You know, you can say that, but how do you act, see?
Yes.
How do you act in the when the temperature's turned up? Help me, Lord. If these things be in you abound, ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. But again, it's making the point, if you lack these things, you saying you have them, right, with your mouth, but your actions and the things that you do and say, they don't follow after it. See, that's what this is saying here. Then you're blind and you've forgotten where God brought you from. So keep all these things and do them, and we'll never fall by the grace of God. We take the knowledge, continual growth produces knowledge, right? And as I take the knowledge, I grab an understanding of it, and then I apply it. That's how we continue to grow, and that's how God can keep us. Just want to make note here in this 8th verse what it says in the Amplified. Again, that verse, for if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is what the Amplified says. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. So they increasingly abound,
then they will keep us.
Yes.
And the writer says, if ye be careful and diligent to work out your own salvation through grace, which we receive from God, we'll never fall.
Amen.
This is just a few. By the help of the Lord, we're going to hit some other ones. So there'll at least be a part three. There might be a part four. I don't know. But the encouragement is we can stand on the promises of God.
Yes.
I appreciate your time and your attention this morning.